Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning to you. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump show or hump day if you're just waking up. We're glad to have you on board. If you're a doomer and a gloomer, or if you are a ray of sunshine, anything in between, we are a full service operation and very often provide some therapy by way of allowing you to vent or debate. That's cool. I just don't quite understand why so many people appear to be giddy about the idea of sports shutting down or toppling after all this effort, because I thought we were sports fans. But maybe there are a lot of people who aren't sports fans listening to the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Whatever floats your boat. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options? Adjust payments and closing costs in real time? Rocket can. We've got a lot of news, man. It was a crazy Tuesday full of sports news from the NFL and another record contract extension handed out to Aaron Rodgers, telling you exactly his reaction when Jordan Love was drafted by the Packers, to a half dozen Patriots choosing to opt out of the 2020 season. And then, of course, the intake testing for the veterans, as they were expected to report for training camp on Tuesday. From the NBA, Anthony Davis gets poked in the eye, may not be available for the Lakers restart against the Clippers, although the Clippers are kind of dealing with half a roster right now anyway, but we'll keep you updated on Anthony Davis as we get more answers there. In Major League Baseball, incredible. Dodgers, Astros, they made it to the sixth inning before there was a benches clearing conversation. The reason I say incredible is because whether or not Joe Kelly acted alone, typical wild child that he is, I know there are many sports fans around the United States that were making the same kind of faces and saying the same kind of smack as Joe Kelly was when he was walking to the dugout after the sixth inning. So we'll explain. We'll let you hear from Joe Kelly and Alex Bregman. But the play-by-play is pretty funny, too, from both the Astros and the Dodgers' perspective. All righty. You'll understand when we get there. And so there's a lot happening. The Marlins have been shut down till Sunday. The Phillies have been shut down until Friday. But there is good news even in the midst of the doom and gloom. Not sure if you heard this, but other than the Marlins, there has not been a positive COVID test in baseball since Friday. How about that? We focus so much on one team, and I understand in this 2020, I don't want to say atmosphere, but the territory where we are in 2020, we've been conditioned now to hone in on the negative even more than usual. But there are no positive tests inside the NBA bubble. The NHL is squeaky clean in both Edmonton and Toronto, and all but one team have come back completely negative for the virus since Friday in Major League Baseball. More good news than there is bad news, and it really does underscore the need for personal responsibility and accountability. There are reports out there about how the Marlins approached their last couple of days and their road trip in Atlanta before they started the regular season. Here's what I know. Whether or not you believe that there were Marlins who went out on the town in Atlanta, whether or not the reports are accurate, somebody messed up. Because 29 teams can't be wrong. Somebody brought the virus into the Marlins travel party. Maybe he knows who he is. Maybe it was a couple of guys. According to Bob Nightingale of USA Today, at least one guy went out when they were in Atlanta following their last exhibition. And that was before they got on the charter flight to travel for their opening weekend in Philadelphia. Somebody screwed up. It comes back to personal responsibility. It's a tough lesson to learn, but we're talking about millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, and thousands of other players and coaches and umpires who are depending upon this season moving forward. The Marlins have no one to blame but themselves. And so if you believe the reports out there, somebody decided, against better judgment, to go out, enjoy some time on the town in Atlanta. Maybe it was one guy, maybe it was more. It turned into an unmitigated disaster. But that's not what's happening around the majority of Major League Baseball. So again, there's a lot to get to. I promised that you would hear from Bruce Arians. He's been one of my personal favorites during this time over the last 4.5 months because he continues to remain positive and he always seems to be confident and optimistic that there is a way forward, which I do appreciate because I don't know how much of that we're hearing over the last 4 months. Sometimes it is easier to be negative, but I'm going to keep swimming upstream. I don't hear from as many people who appreciate the positive, but I know you're out there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I want to take a couple minutes, if you don't mind, to talk about a young sports fan from the Baltimore area who passed away on Tuesday. Some of you may know him just by virtue of the fact that you are in the Baltimore area, you root for the Orioles, you root for the Ravens. Mo Gabba was a super fan, and his fight against cancer, 4 different times that the cancer invaded his body, his fight, his spirit, his kindness, his gentleness, that was all contagious. And he became not only a fan who was welcomed by the Orioles and the Ravens, but he also became an inspiration to them. If you were on social media at all on Tuesday, you may have seen all of the tributes that were popping up from various Orioles players, various Ravens players, even John Harbaugh. He just turned 14 years old, and to have the type of impact on the number of people that he did is a testament to the way he lived his life, the way he approached cancer, and the way that his family decided to move forward with him. And I found a video from the Orioles that I tweeted on Tuesday evening, and I hope that you will check it out. In fact, I'm going to retweet it here just in case you haven't seen it. I know a lot of people have. It's been viewed by roughly 500,000 people, but the Baltimore Orioles issued an edict on Tuesday, maybe knowing that Mo was getting worse, that he was fighting some really terrible headaches and that the cancer was making it more and more difficult for him. The Orioles issued an edict in which they inducted him into the Hall of Fame. And this video is not just some photos and some moments of him at the ballpark with the Orioles, participating in some of the fan activities, but also his mom reading him this piece of paper that inducts him into the Orioles Hall of Fame. I cried, of course. Little Mo laying in his bed listening to his mom, and she choked up too. So it's a really poignant moment, a powerful moment, a sweet moment, of course, for Mo, who loved his Orioles. And he passed away just a few hours later. So I'd really love it if you'd go and you'd watch this video that the Orioles put out there. What a great move by the franchise to recognize what's most important. Here are the Orioles in the midst of getting caught up and the Marlins mess and having games canceled and their schedule changed. But they found the time, made it a priority to induct Mo into the Hall of Fame. And I just hope it brought him joy. You could see him, and he definitely reacted to it when he was laying in his bed and his Mom was reading it to him. So please go and check out that video. Again, I just retweeted it, A-Law Radio. Some of you may have heard Mo call sports radio in the past. I know he was a big fan of our Baltimore affiliate, 105.7 The Fan, a frequent guest, a frequent highlight on their various sports shows. I will not ever forget the first time Mo called my show. This goes back, gosh, maybe to when I was hosting on the weekends. And because he had trouble sleeping, very often in the middle of the night, he would flip on sports radio and he would keep it on his favorite station, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. And our show would air overnight. Now, when I first started here at CBS Sports Radio, the show aired on Fridays and Saturdays and then Sunday evenings. And so he would catch it. And the first time he called, I just remember this sweet little voice. You could instantly tell it was a kid, but he had a higher pitched voice, just oozing sweetness and excitement. And he laughed. In fact, he giggled. He called to talk about the Orioles, the Ravens. He always wanted to. Whatever else we were doing, he had to talk about his Baltimore sports teams. And in addition to his sweet voice, I just remember that giggle that was contagious. And I remember asking him, because this was 3 o'clock in the morning Eastern time when he called. And I remember asking him, at this point, I didn't know his story. I just knew it was Mo from Baltimore. And I asked him, why aren't you sleeping? And he mentioned that he had trouble sleeping. Again, at this point, I didn't know that he was battling cancer or they had any type of physical challenges. And so I asked him, did he turn on the radio when he couldn't sleep? And he said yes. And so we talked a little bit about having sleep trouble and sometimes not being able to sleep in the middle of the night. But he was not down about it. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't angry. He wasn't frustrated. No, he was brave. He was kind. He was funny. He was cute. He was sweet. And he giggled. And that's what I won't forget. And so I remember maybe 3-4 conversations. Really look forward to them. And then as he became more of a regular on the show, and would call every so often, then I would hear from those of you who listen in Baltimore who told me his story and told me what he was going through. And again, it's just amazing that the Orioles and the Ravens recognize what matters most, using their platform, using their power, using their influence to make, let's say, the last 4 or 5 years of this young man's life sweeter, a little more exciting, something to look forward to get his mind off the battle that he was facing. 4 times the cancer invaded his body, and yet he didn't change. Lost his sight. As I mentioned, he was having major headaches at the end. Had a radio host from Baltimore. His name's Jeremy. Some of you know him. He's on 105.7 The Fan. He's really close to Mo. He reached out to me a couple weeks ago. And he sent me Mo's phone number. And because I'm just telling you, I want to be honest, because I was busy moving, busy hosting a radio show from home, I read Jeremy's direct message on Twitter, and then I let it sit there for a couple of weeks. Over the last 2 weeks, this voice in my head, no doubt it was God, at least I believe that, kept saying to me, text Mo, reach out to Mo, go get his phone number off Twitter, send him a message. Happened for 3 or 4 days, and I finally stopped making everything else a priority. I, at this time, didn't know that things were getting worse for Mo. I just had Jeremy's message and hadn't responded. So I wrote back to Jeremy. I asked how Mo was doing. And I told him I was going to text him. And he said, that'd be great. Mo would love to hear from you. Told me that he was, it just kind of told me what he was facing at the time and what he was going through. On Saturday, last Saturday, I sent Mo a text message. Asked how he was doing. Told him I was thinking about him. Told him I was praying for him. Wasn't sure if I would hear back. I did. And on Saturday afternoon, we had a text conversation. Now, he's a 14-year-old boy, right? So he sent me, I think, 10 text messages with a total 20 words. He sent me a bunch of text messages that were one word. Yeah, okay, thanks. I think my favorite one was, "Hi, Amy, it's Mo." It was sweet. We talked about the Orioles a little bit, mostly me, but he responded, he wrote back. Talked about the Ravens, talked about football a little bit. Asked him how he was doing. He actually said good, even though I knew otherwise. I don't know if it mattered to him. I know he has a lot of people who are looking out for him, a lot of much more high-profile athletes and coaches. But I did do what I told him I would do. I did pray for him over the last few days, that he would not be in any pain, that he would find peace, that he would find comfort, and that when it was his time to go, it wouldn't be painful. And I can't tell you how much it means to me to have those text messages on my phone, even though from 14-year-old Mo, they were, yeah, okay, thanks. But I could hear his sweet voice in my head and that little giggle. And so I'm really sorry to hear of his passing. I know many of you from the Baltimore area have reached out to me to make sure I knew. He was brave. He was courageous. He was kind. He was sweet. He was funny. And he was an inspiration. His spirit was contagious. I didn't know him well, but I'm so thankful that this radio show afforded me the opportunity to connect with Mo, because he impacted countless lives in his 14 years on this planet. Just wanted to make sure I shared with you a little bit about Mo Gabba. But if you haven't seen the video that the Orioles put out there, please check it out. And forget my Twitter even. Go to the Orioles page, go to the Ravens page, and see the tributes that they posted for this 14-year-old fan who they will never forget.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It wasn't whiskey, but tequila that Aaron Rodgers poured for himself when he saw the Packers draft Jordan Love in the first round. Not just draft him, but move up to get him. Dave is in the control room. So Dave, I'm going to just reveal how dumb I am when it comes to alcohol. What does it mean to pour a finger of tequila? Does that mean you put your finger at the bottom of the glass and you, that's how much? Oh, so it's that simple? That's it's just it. Essentially the same amount of tequila as what your finger would. Okay. I don't even really know how to say that. The depth of your finger? I mean, your finger doesn't really have depth, but.
Sure, the height, the depth, the width, okay. Whichever way you want to go.
The width of your finger.
That's how much you're drinking.
So in other words, he put all four fingers next to the cup, or is it not something you measure? You just kind of, you throw it in there, that's a finger.
We're eyeballing it if we're putting that much tequila okay. in a glass.
So you're not really worried about whether or not it's four or five fingers?
It's probably closer to eight, but who's counting?
So yeah, sorry. I don't know anything about alcohol really, but four fingers. Okay, that makes sense. Why overthink it, Amy? A finger is a finger. So it wasn't whiskey, but it was tequila. The drink of choice for Aaron Rodgers when he saw what the Packers did in the first round of the NFL draft, going back when all of us were watching it unfold virtually at the end of April. Rodgers was a guest on the Ringer podcast with Kyle Brandt of NFL Network.
When they traded up, I was definitely a little perked up a little bit. And then I got a text because everything's so delayed. I got a text from my agent. He said he just texted quarterback. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. I knew it was going to be one of those nights where the people were going to start calling and there's going to be, hey, you know, everything fine, you okay? I'm like, yeah, fine. Like, you know, I wasn't elated by the pick, you right. know, especially being one game away from the Super Bowl and feeling like we're a couple players away. But at the same time, I understand it's a business.
I wasn't elated by the pick. I felt like it was a good time to drink some hard liquor. Wait, does tequila count as a hard liquor?
Oh, yeah.
It does. Okay, got it. I'm totally an idiot when it comes to alcohol, but that's fine. If I have to be idiotic about something, I'd rather be in the dark about alcohol. So he isn't elated about the pick, but Aaron also doesn't want Jordan Love to feel like he isn't welcome.
The last thing you want is to deal with any negativity around like realizing a childhood dream. So I just told him, congrats, man. I understand what you're going through, man. It's super exciting. I'm excited to work with you, which I am. And I understand it's a business. I understand the nature of the business and not here abdicating my spot by any means. That's not going to happen. But I understand how the business works.
He seems to be taking it all in stride. Maybe that was after the four fingers of tequila. But what else is he going to say? Let's be honest. Maybe his close friends, the people who know him best, got a little more of an emotion behind his comments. But publicly, all we're going to get is, I wasn't elated. All right, I wouldn't be either. However, I still in no way believe that Rodgers is worried about his job. Are you kidding? This is one of the best quarterbacks on the planet. And as he points out, they were one game away from the Super Bowl last year, the number two seed. Aaron Jones with an incredible year, the new head coach, the new system, fresh start and fresh life, new life. Rodgers is, and I don't mean this as a negative, I think most athletes who are at the height of their sport are incredibly arrogant, but it's part of why they get to where they have gotten is because they have this built-in belief and confidence in themselves. So yeah, he's arrogant. He doesn't think his job is in jeopardy, but he also admits it's a business. The Packers don't draft a quarterback in the first round. They don't move up to draft a quarterback in the first round if they aren't eventually making that transition. We just don't know when it will happen. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm saying I'm not giving you a chance. Once again, I've got plenty left to offer on the football field, and at this point, obviously, the Packers would be silly to make a change. Maybe he keeps it so that they would be silly and foolish to make a change. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Bruce Arians now, of course, is the head coach for Tom Brady. All of these guys having to go through the intake testing. For NFL training camps, you have to go through three separate virus tests. All of them have to come back negative. So three in a row, which is a step up from what we've seen with the NBA, with the NHL. Three negative tests. This is where the money comes in, guys. This is why I tell you all the time. NBA, NHL, NFL, they can throw money at the problem. How many people out there could afford to take three tests when they've got no symptoms? But that's what the NFL is requiring because they're doing their absolute best to get the season off the ground. Now, in light of what happened with the Marlins, maybe you've heard the reports. USA Today's Bob Nightingale indicated at least one of the Marlins went out on the town in Atlanta when they were wrapping up their exhibition season. There's no bubble, but there is and should be personal responsibility. It's not just about you. It's about your teammates, your coaches, the umpires, the other team, the season. That's all sitting on the edge of a cliff. And it takes one nasty storm and the whole thing comes sliding down. And so that one Marlin, two Marlins, three Marlins who went out, they put their entire team in jeopardy and they have to live with that. It's a tough lesson to learn. Thankfully, at this point, it hasn't spread elsewhere. But obviously, the NFL is looking at that. Bruce Arians is looking at that, recognizing that players have to take ownership because they're not going to be in a bubble. They're going to be outside the facilities.
I don't think our guys are going to get sick in the locker room. I don't think they'll get sick in our facility. Everybody here is tested. They're clean. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen outside the facility. Is it possible? Yeah, I don't see it happening. We don't stay in cities as long as baseball does.
If nothing else, NFL athletes, even NBA, NHL, baseball too, they're all seeing not only the cautionary tale that is the Marlins, but what happened with Lou Williams. He hasn't tested positive that we know of, but he has to sit in quarantine for 10 days because he ran amok of the protocols. The NFL has made it very strict if you don't abide by the guidelines, if you decide the rules don't apply to you, and you're the one that puts the whole thing in jeopardy, you're the one who's going to pay for it. So the NFL has made this very clear. Arian says he's comfortable with the safety protocols. And this is an older guy. I don't know if he's an at-risk guy, but he is older, as many of the NFL coaches are. Not all of them, but some of them. And we talked about Pete Carroll. He's, what, in his 70s? I mean, or late 60s, I should say. And so you've got guys who are at risk, even if the athletes aren't. And yet Arians remains confident. He's been this way since the very beginning.
I'm very confident. I think, like I said, the protocols that are in place are extremely safe. And it's going to be coaches, players, and staff being smart outside the building. And, so that part of it, nobody's going to get sick over here because everybody's got a negative test that's in the building.
Agree with that. Like many of the coaches have indicated, you're safer inside the facilities where they're being deep cleaned, where everybody's being tested, than you might be elsewhere. And yet we're having players opt out. A half dozen Patriots have opted out so far. A couple of them because of either brand new baby or a new baby on the way. And that's the prerogative. And I don't think we should criticize. Of course, we live in a world where everyone criticizes. But that's the option. And if you've got money and you don't need to worry about playing for that paycheck, maybe you want to give your mind and your body a break for a year, knowing you can return to it next year. More than likely, Dante Hightower certainly can. So I don't begrudge any of these guys for opting out, but I also love the fact that so many of them want to get back to what they do. They want to get back to business.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Wait until you hear Joe Kelly after the Dodgers-Astros game on Tuesday night. He did everything but answer the question. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. My favorite thing about that Astros call, of first the pitch that was high and tight and behind Alex Bregman's head. And you hear Robert Ford in response to Steve Sparks, who is a former big league pitcher himself. He's kind of breaking it down. And Robert Ford says, "All righty." But then to hear the two of them and their reaction, this was in the sixth inning of last night's game. And honestly, I was on the same page as Dave Roberts. I didn't think there would be any retaliation with the Dodgers, although come to think about it, maybe Dave was just saying that and he actually knew it was coming. I don't know. I don't know if this was Joe Kelly flying solo or if this was Joe Kelly at the behest of his teammates not being afraid to go out there and, if need be, get a warning or get ejected. So let's just be honest. Joe Kelly is crazy wild, too. He's a wild child. He's the guy who threw the ball during COVID. Remember, quarantine. He was throwing the ball at a target. He was working out in his backyard, and he misses badly the entire target, and the ball goes through the window of his own house, and his wife gets the whole thing on film, and so it turns into this big video that goes viral. Someone actually suggested earlier, Dave, that Joe Kelly did that on purpose and put it out there on the internet so that when he had the chance to throw behind Alex Bregman or to misfire badly on a breaking pitch to Carlos Correa, that, you know, people would be reminded of the video during quarantine and think, oh, that's just Joe being Joe. Well, I mean, it is Joe being Joe. He does not mind stirring the pot, not even a little bit.
All righty.
So great. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? All righty then. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. That's our toll-free line. 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on your car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. 855-212-4CBS. As for the Dodgers, the Astros, I was totally wrong. I thought the focus would be on everything else happening in Major League Baseball, and could be. That's what the Dodgers wanted us all to think. But I took a phone call about this time yesterday. Guy asked me, I think he was an Astros fan, whether or not I thought there would be extracurricular activity. He even mentioned a brawl, which, I mean, it was benches clearing conversation, really. But I said no. I didn't think that that it would be front and center because of everything else going on. I mean, think about the tone Monday and the nerves and the anxiety and the stress over what was happening with the Marlins and not knowing about the Phillies, the Yankees, the Orioles, blah, blah, blah. And everybody's talking about that. I didn't think there was going to be any type of retaliation by the Dodgers. And all was quiet until the sixth inning. And then, so after the pitch to Correa that got away from him, that was deemed a wild pitch and the runners moved up, it wasn't quite the end of Joe Kelly having his say.
Here comes the 2-2. Swung on and missed, strike three. Slider down and away, and the inning is over.
And some barking going on out to towards Joe Kelly.
As Kelly turns around and both the Giant or both the Dodgers and the Astros are mouthing off, and Kelly finally arrives at the dugout, and he is still talking. And the benches are beginning to clear. Oh, we knew it was nearly inevitable. Correa is barking. Kelly is barking. The teams have emptied the benches. Goes without saying, there's not a whole lot of social distancing going on at the moment.
Jeez.
The bullpens have emptied.
We don't
care. Punches have been thrown. Just a lot of droplets are in the air.
Charlie Steiner, as only Charlie Steiner can, much, much different tone to his description on the Dodgers radio network. If you haven't seen the video, now I don't know this Twitter account, but producer Chris found it. Believe it or not, it's called the 2020 Astros Shame Tour. I didn't even know it existed until yesterday, but I wanted to see the video of it. And so there's a camera that was a close-up on Joe Kelly. He's channeling his inner 10-year-old as he walks off the field. I'm not joking about this. He sticks his lower lip out like he's pouting. So he's mocking Correa. Correa starts barking. They all start jawing at each other. Reddick's having a fit. Reddick, the former Dodger, having a fit. You can hear them barking, quote unquote, on the radio play-by-play. All of a sudden, the fake crowd noise, it ceased to exist. So you can hear the players yelling at each other. So as Joe Kelly is walking off the mound, he's mocking Correa. He sticks his lower lip out like he's pouting, and then he says, "Wah." You don't need to be a master lip reader to know exactly what he's saying, as in stop crying. Now, Dusty Baker, I didn't hear this on the broadcast, but Dusty Baker says what made him angry is that after Correa swung and missed at the last pitch of that sixth inning, that Joe Kelly said, "Nice swing, B-word." It rhymes with pitch. It rhymes with itch. I actually have so many itches right now, bug bites. They're terrible this time of the year. But he didn't say either one of those things. It rhymes with lots of things. Snitch. Oh, it rhymes with snitch. Remember the snitch line with the NBA in Orlando?
Oh, no!
So Joe Kelly walks off the field, mocks Correa, and then at one point, he sticks out his tongue. Again, he's channeling his inner 10-year-old. Sticks out his tongue and shakes his head like,
Just a lot of droplets are in the air.
I'm sorry. Makes me a terrible American that I'm laughing at that, I guess. And I don't know for sure if Joe Kelly had discussed it with any of his teammates. I do know that Kelly is the guy who'd be more than happy to make this happen and stir this pot. He was waiting for the opportunity, and he got it in the sixth inning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you have not seen the video, I retweeted it just now. Forget about the benches clearing conversation. There was actually a few guys in the middle of it wearing their masks, so at least they're practicing safe habits. You just need to watch the video for Joe Kelly's faces. Seriously, what are you doing? Anyway, he was asked after the game, of course, whether or not the pitch he threw to Bregman and then the pitch he threw to Correa a couple batters later, whether or not that was intentional.
It was a ball, obviously.
wasn't my best pitch. It was ball four, and walked him, and never good to put a guy on when you're leading the game. So I wasn't feeling the greatest.
Huh.
Wasn't the most comfortable.
Nah.
Took me a while to hone in my mechanics.
Oh, really? you're fibbing. It was a ball, obviously, he says. It was ball four. He doesn't answer the question. He admits it was a bad pitch. And that he wasn't feeling comfortable. Huh. Took him a couple more batters to hone his mechanics, and then he faces Carlos Correa. Oh
my God. I mean, it's ball four.
Duh. So maybe he rehearsed that. Do you think he practiced that at home in front of the mirror, knowing that this opportunity was going to happen?
Walked him in.
Yep, you sure did. Now, it totally would have blown up in his face if those runners that advanced on the wild pitch, well, they got on base via the walk, and then they moved over with the wild pitch. If that had turned into a situation where the Astros drove them home, the Dodgers ended up winning the game. The Astros pitching staff is really hurting right now. And the reason I'm laughing, for a lot of reasons, I feel like Joe Kelly, he got maybe made a lot of new fans or changed the minds of a lot of people who've seen him pitch in the past, but certainly got the applause of a lot of baseball fans around the United States. No one got hurt. Somebody yelled at me earlier, what happens if these guys end up in the hospital? I mean, they're not in the hospital. If they end up in the hospital because of the pitches that Joe Kelly threw, something is horribly wrong. They're not in the hospital. And I do not condone throwing at anyone's head. Only that Joe Kelly, he probably did what a lot of baseball fans were hoping he would, or hoping that the Astros would get in return. They still get to keep their World Series title. And also for, let's call it 5 minutes, we got to talk about something else in baseball besides the virus and the Marlins. And that was awesome. I really enjoyed it. There are all those fleeting moments where I feel like I could, I can't forget completely, but just for a few moments, you could almost forget that there's this overarching umbrella shadow. I don't think anybody feels bad for the Astros, except for maybe a few Astros fans. Come on, I don't even think the Astros feel bad for the Astros. Are you kidding me? They're the ones who get to keep the World Series rings. They don't feel bad about this. In fact, they're getting off pretty easy because there are no fans in the stands. So I will admit it. I was totally wrong. I didn't think that the retaliation would rear its ugly head in game one in 2020 between these two teams. But can I also tell you the truth? I'm glad I was wrong. It's okay to be wrong every now and then, especially when it's that entertaining. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. There's a lot of other stuff we could talk about from Tuesday in sports. Just quickly mentioning the Joey Bosa contract. $102 million guaranteed over the life of the contract extension. More money than any defensive player has ever had written into his contract guaranteed in NFL history. It's a guy who gets the $78 million at signing and then the $102 million guaranteed over the course of the contract. And, you know, there are guys who were drafted after him who were already getting contract extensions. You know what we didn't hear? Joey Bosa going on social media, threatening to hold out. Joey Bosa going on social media, ripping his coach, ripping his teammates, ripping the franchise. It's kind of cool when guys take a more gracious approach, more classier approach, a little bit humbler, maybe a little bit quieter, and they still end up getting what they wanted. So congratulations to Bosa. And then we'll hear more and more from the NFL as we move through these next couple of days, of course, because the veterans had to report on Tuesday and are now going through the three rounds. They have to have that swab up their nose, or as some people tell me, all the way up into your brains. I haven't had one yet. My Grammy Helen has had two. She said it wasn't that bad. It's because she's amazing. 98 years old. She's still tougher than most of you peeps. All right, we'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.